Welcome to Aspect Radio. I am Ben Flanagan, and this time I am joined by a colleague of mine at AL.com, managing producer?
News manager, managing producer, guy that works here, Alex Walsh in Birmingham.
Alex Walsh in Birmingham from...
I grew up in Florida, been to Chicago, been to Boston, all over. I've been everywhere, man.
Well, Chicago was a big stop for you because
Absolutely.
You are a noted poor Chicago Cubs fan.
Pity me, y'all. There's a blog called Bleed Cubby Blue, and I, you know, my veins don't have oxygen in them, so there's blue blood in there too. But yeah, I'm big. I'm all the way on the Cubs. Yeah.
So when did you get into the Cubs?
My mom grew up in Chicago, so again, back to that, and I've been to Wrigley and some Sosa stuff and some early day kind of stuff. Well, early day for me, I'm, 19 years old still. And I grew up in Florida, but the culture there, the baseball culture there was really not so good. Heck, I should have picked the Marlins.
Yeah, I was going to say, even with all the World Series, I mean, I know the stadium was always empty, but...
It just didn't grab me. I guess Miami was far enough away, and I guess the Braves might have, but they didn't either. So it just kind of happened. You know, these things just kind of happen. So... Latched on to the Cubs, and then I was actually in Chicago for school. If I were smart and wanted a Chicago baseball team, I would have picked the White Sox because they won the World Series in 05, but I went Cubs, and I can't change it now.
So why Cubs? Why'd you pick the Cubs?
I'm a businessman, and this is the ultimate buy-low opportunity in sport where I know that I'll have to maybe wait a little while to cash in my check, but when it happens, I'm going to sell out, and I'm going to have $1 million in my bank. It'll be great.
Okay.
I just love them. I don't know.
Regionally, yeah, you mentioned you had the Marlins, you had the Braves. I guess it goes to show that at least you're a pure, genuine fan of baseball, and then you weren't attracted to winning necessarily.
Yeah, maybe I'm attracted to losing, actually, in the most dramatic way, too.
Yeah.
They're not just like, okay, they're pretty much the best losers in the world.
Yeah.
Like, that is the number one nice guys finished last. The Cubs, the least intimidating mascot in professional sport. It's a literal baby bear. Maybe I just like, I don't know, they're so nice. It's just a nice team. Let's hang out.
Well, that's all right. I don't think the Cubs and fans of the Cubs are particularly offensive to anybody.
Let's hang out, yeah.
And yeah, most people feel sorry for Cubs fans and the Cubs, and I think people just want them to succeed. So when I say Steve Bartman, you say?
Alex Gonzalez, because that's the shortstop that booted the double play ground ball. I don't think Moises could have caught that left field ball anyway. Also, if you know of any Renegades Little League sweatshirts, the kind that Bartman was wearing, I would buy a Renegade. I've searched Google for that Renegade sweatshirt probably 8 times in my life. So if anybody out there knows where one is, I will buy it.
Are you trying to put together a Halloween costume, or you just want one?
I've done that many. I've been trying to put together a Halloween costume for years and years, and I just usually go with earphones and a Cubs hat, and that's enough.
Yeah.
So I love the sweatshirt.
So no ill will.
None whatsoever.
Okay.
I feel bad.
Okay.
Actually, there's a great song by a rapper named Serengeti called Don't Blame Steve. It's a great song, and that's the point. Don't blame Steve.
Well, the Cubs fit into the discussion we're about to have. I don't know if this is going to be a part of your list that we're about to make.
You better believe it.
Okay,
yeah.
So we're going to talk our favorite baseball movies. The new season is upon us. The 2015 season has started. The Cubs have played. They played on opening day, lost to St. Louis, 3-0.
It's true.
It was a tough one, but it was a valiant effort.
You know,
started with a base hit.
They didn't look incompetent. Like, that's the bar, right? And that's why it's so fun to be a they didn't look terrible.
It's going to be a good year.
It's going to be great. They actually swung the bat when the ball was coming at them. They caught it a few times. It was great. So it'll happen. It'll be fine.
So growing up, were baseball movies important to you?
Not any more than any other kid, I don't think. Really, and we can talk about it as much as you want, but what makes baseball so fun to me, I'm a real numbers geek, anyone would say this about me that knows me, but it's basically the ultimate sports-laden science experiment. The data is just so great. We were talking about, you know, horizontal spin on cutters and whiff rates on fastballs, and I can just stare at spreadsheets all day long and have a lot of, and maybe that makes me, it does make me totally weird, but I really like that about it. So, but as a kid, and I wasn't really statistically inclined to that extent, it's more just kind of another sport. It really later on is when I got really into it. So
you're a Moneyball guy?
Absolutely.
Not necessarily the movie, but the thing Moneyball.
Maybe so, but yes. Michael Lewis's book changed my life. I've read other books of his. He's a role model, absolutely. He's a business writer, feature writer. Love Michael Lewis, love Moneyball. Great book.
So it doesn't dilute the game for you at all? It doesn't take away the romanticism that everybody loves about baseball?
How to say? It's like... you try so hard and you think so hard, and so I can calculate this and I can calculate this, and I've controlled for so much of the function and I've explained so much of it statistically, and yet, despite everyone in the world trying as hard as they can to unlock the secret to how to win baseball games, there's still that small little trick, little element that we just can't control for, and we can't go buy it as a free agent. So actually, that little extra is what makes it so beautiful, is I can understand so much of it numerically, but there's still those few little things that just don't make sense, and that makes it so fun and beautiful.
Yeah, I'm reminded of the scene, and we won't get too deep into this, but obviously that great scene at the end of Moneyball, when the anecdote about Jeremy Brown, this guy is one of these Moneyball guys, right? The myth of Moneyball, his name pops up especially, but in that moment where the guy rounds first base, doesn't realize he's hit the home run, stumbles and falls, and they say, how can you not romanticize baseball? How can you not feel this way about baseball?
You think you've seen it all, and then you see something new.
Yeah,
all the
sure.
time.
Well, let's get into it.
Great.
Top three baseball movies. A very personal list.
No doubt.
I'll start.
Can I do an honorable mention before we do the three?
Yeah, for sure.
Do we have time for a story
about
this?
Yes.
Speaking of stats and box scores and all this, 42 is not on my list, but I want to give it an honorable mention, and here's specifically why.
Okay.
So if you've seen the film, you know that early in the season, Jackie Robinson is hit by a pitch by some mean guy named Austin Mueller.
Uh-huh.
Later in the movie, he hits a home run off the same pitcher. I thought to myself, is this a contrivance of some writer, or did this happen? And by the virtue of box scores, we can go to baseballreference.com and look this stuff up. And sure enough, in that season, Robinson was hit by a pitch by Austin Mueller in that early month, and later on hit a home run off of him. So it looks too good to be true just for movies only, but 42 gets an honorable mention for number one, staying true to the game, and number two, making such a wonderful thing really pop. It was just crazy.
No kidding.
Truth. I mean, it's a great movie in Birmingham and
sure,
Jackie Robinson.
Sure,
important
sure.
thing. Harrison Ford, great role. But HR for those guys.
Okay, I got you. All right, well, I'll start. My number three is from 1992. Penny Marshall's A League of Their Own.
There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
Why don't you leave her alone, Jimmy?
Oh, you zip it, Doris. Rogers Hornsby was my manager, and he called me a talking pile of pig s***. And that was when my parents drove all the way down from Michigan to see me play the game. And did I cry?
No.
And you know why?
No.
Because there's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in baseball. No crying.
That's an interesting choice.
Why? Because it's girls?
Yeah, and I like it fine. Tom Hanks, a fantastic performance.
Yeah.
Rosie O'Donnell, a fantastic performance. So no crying in baseball, number one. No singing in baseball. There's too much singing in that movie.
There's one song.
Yeah, too much. It's
too
over.
Much.
It's over for me.
It's a good song. Look, it may be my personal favorite. It's an extremely sentimental pick. It's a heartfelt portrait of the inaugural season of Women's Major League Baseball. I think it's a great example of just pure American entertainment. It's a 90s classic that does have a great Tom Hanks performance as Jimmy Dugan, this former great home run hitter of the major leagues turned alcoholic manager of this Rockford Peaches team. But I love the cast. I think the story, again, is just this very wholesome, all-American, simple piece of storytelling, and it works really well for me. And the baseball itself in the movie is actually really well shot and staged.
That's actually true. I will actually give you credit for that. It is actually a compelling game to watch as they do play the games, and the pitching is interesting. I think if that was your number one film, I might pause a bit longer, but I think it's a great choice for your top three list.
It's just a good movie. And
it's
also,
good.
Special shout-out to John Lovitz, who plays the scout in the movie. He recruits the women to come play in the league. He's fantastic. Should have gotten an Oscar nomination.
Madonna in as well.
C'est la vie. That's right. Madonna, for sure.
Great movie.
Yeah, good cast. You're number three.
My number three is Moneyball, the film that you mentioned earlier. It doesn't quite have the same vintage of a fine wine, maybe. It's a newer film, and it's a little bit superficial in terms of, you know, Moneyball is kind of this thing. But Chris Pratt is just super charming. I think Brad Pitt does very well. It doesn't have that same gripping, because they don't win the World Series, so it's kind of not the same final rising moment thing. But it's a beautiful movie, and it's great, and I like it a lot.
Is it more to do with the fact that this was based on this book that changed your life as a baseball fan? Do you like it for that reason primarily? Generally, that they made a movie out of it and it did well? Is it something about Billy Bean's story specifically that you love so much?
I think it's kind of like, so I'm a big Ben Folds fan, and I think every time Ben Folds writes a song, it's kind of sarcastic.
Uh-huh.
I think there's a kind of clinicalness and a kind of sarcasm to the Moneyball movie that I can't, it's not emotional enough for it to be my number one film. I think it's great and I love it. And that whole 21 winning streak thing is great. But there's just something, it's not quite so deep. And I mean, the father-daughter story is cool, but there's not that like, yeah, we won the whole, it just lacks some emotionality. Emotionality is not a word. Emotionalness to it?
Sure.
You know what I mean. It lacks emotion a little bit for me.
I got you.
That's why it's number one.
Okay, my number two, and this is where we're going to start having some overlap.
Fisticuffs, maybe? Oh, overlap.
Well, I think overlap. My number two from 1989, Major League. I love it. And don't reveal if it is on your list, but just one of the all-time great comedies from the 80s and just in general. The story of Ricky Vaughn, Willie Mays Hayes, Jake, remind me his last name, Tom Berenger plays him, the catcher, Corbin Burnson's, Roger Dorn, just so many great characters and colorful personalities.
I believe that's Jake Taylor.
There you go, in this movie. And just what's so great about this movie is the profanity that it blends into this just extremely cynical but hilarious world in the tradition of Slapshot from the 1970s, which did it with hockey. It's just so funny, and it really holds up today. And again, a big piece of criteria I have for what makes a great baseball movie, the story, the characters, yes, but the actual baseball that they film and the actual competition that you see on screen and whether or not you're invested in the team, how well they do and how well it's shot. And I think Major League actually gets baseball more than most movies do.
Let me just say I agree.
Okay.
And perhaps we'll talk more about this later on. But while we're on the subject of baseball realism, I think Charlie Sheen obviously invested in the role and trained well and looks like a pitcher. I would just say in contrast, because I'll throw one out, again, overlapping and talking. Bull Durham is not on my list. Let me just say that right now.
Okay.
And part of the reason why is because Tim Robbins as a pitcher does not make any sense to me whatsoever.
Okay.
I also don't think the Susan Sarandon love story makes any sense, personally. But the biggest knock for me on Bull Durham is just the baseball realism isn't really there.
The physicality has to be
Whereas in Major League, it's absolutely there.
Yeah, okay, for sure. Bull Durham's not on my list either, so we're good.
Okay.
But we're at your number two now.
I think this is going to be the season for the Cubs.
You think it's going to be the season? Why would you think that? We haven't won a pennant since 45 and a series since
1908. I just have this feeling.
You had a feeling. He's got a feeling. Cancel the coffee. Get me what Ernie's drinking. He's got a feeling about the...
We're on the air.
Yeah, we're on the air live.
My Cubs fan coming out, Rookie of the Year.
Okay.
I have to include. And this is it's a personal list. I think you mentioned that in the opening.
Yeah.
And for me, that's true, too. Rowan Gardner, come on. Breaks his arm, comes back, fireballer, gets to go play for the Cubs. Oh, Chicago through and through. And you asked also about, you know, did I watch these films as a child? And there's a nostalgia to it. It's got this youth.
Yeah.
And Gary Busey's in it, which is crazy.
Gary Busey's the straight man in
right.
this movie.
Right. Yeah, right.
It's
exactly.
It's bizarre.
The last time he ever played that role. The floater is here. Gosh, you're going to kill me for not knowing the name of the actor, but the not straight man, but the jokester, the guy that follows Rowan Gardner around and plays pinball.
Daniel Stern.
Daniel Stern,
yeah.
The other half of the Home Alone robbery crew.
Exactly.
The Sticky Fingers or whatever it is, right.
The Wet Bandits.
Wet Bandits, right. He's hysterical. It's a great film.
Yeah.
Wrigley Field is a leading character, which I absolutely love.
Sure.
I could watch that one anytime.
Yeah, it's great. And it's been coming on cable lately, actually. And
true.
I stopped and watched it. And the movie is actually pretty dark when you go back and watch it. I mean, Henry as the son of a single mother.
That's right.
Who has a boyfriend who turns out to be a scumbag. And just a lot of the humor in it is really mature for what is a children's movie.
It's got surprising depth. And he's out there as this 13-year-old or whatever age he is and like on the plane as they're ordering drinks and going out late at night and just some weird stuff. It has depth to it, absolutely.
Yeah, it's fun. And funky butt loving too.
Indeed.
One of the all-time great movie lines, I guess.
Yes.
You know, in 1993 and 1994, there was this calendar year span that also featured Angels in the Outfield and The Sandlot, and my favorite from that year, actually, Little Big League.
Sure.
Which I love. I think it's actually a great baseball movie about the kid whose grandfather owns the Minnesota Twins. He dies and leaves him the Twins in his will. That was just an incredible span for children's baseball movies.
A great run, and I guess maybe this is my nod to all of those films, and I've got to pick the one with Wrigley Field in the starring role.
Understandable. All right, my number one, this is as sentimental as it gets, but my exposure to baseball early on in my life was playing baseball and playing Little League. Nothing has ever captured Little League and just the spirit of it and why kids do it at such a young age and are interested in it as the Bad News Bears from 1976. I mean, from a child's point of view, I think it could be the greatest baseball movie ever made. It's easily the funniest. I just don't think that anybody has captured summer little league in a small town like this comedy. Stars Walter Matthau as this washed up, drunk ex-major leaguer tapped to coach this handful of punk, foul-mouthed kids. And it's just a laugh every minute, and it has a lot of heart, and I just totally identified with these kids in this small town, and I can go back and watch this any day of the week, especially as soon as baseball season starts.
I guess for me, and maybe this makes me a bad person, but, and I'll explain myself in another minute here, but my number one film, that resemblance, that proximity, that authenticity, when I watch a Major League Baseball, and that's what I'm calling it, a Major League Baseball film, I want that to depict that game that I love so much.
Yeah.
And so for me, Bad News Bears takes a hit because that's not quite the peak kind of game that I love so much. And I know you probably know where I'm going with my next pick, but I can't hate on it so much. But for me, the number one has got to be a Major League movie.
Okay. Oh. Did you play baseball?
For about 5 minutes,
yeah.
I made it to the pitching machine level and was determined to be quite bad and dropped it from there. I am a Little League coach these days, and that's about as much experience as I get on the field.
So you're a manager.
I am the dugout manager for the Southside Orioles, so when it's Dalen's turn to bat, I shout his name until he shows up at the end of the dugout.
Another reason I love this movie is that it shows these kids playing baseball during a summer, and I think there was an episode of South Park not too long ago that touched on this, where we'd rather be doing so many other things than standing on a diamond playing this game that most of us probably consider really boring. But here we are. It's just a rite of passage as you're a kid to play Little League baseball.
There's no doubt.
Yeah, and this movie also shows you that winning isn't everything. You can have fun through losing. The last moment when they get the second place trophy, throw it at the Yankees who won first place and you know, howl profanities at them and celebrate anyway and drink actual beer and not non-alcoholic beer like they did in the remake. It's just a really fun experience, and you are a bad person for not liking it.
It's a fun movie, and I think it's great that you like it so much. But it's interesting. Okay. It's interesting.
All right, you're number one.
Yeah, Major League, which you stole from me.
I'm sorry.
That's okay, because it's so great that I'm thrilled to talk about it again.
What's that shit on your chest?
Crisco. Bardol. Any one of them will give you another 2 to 3 inches drop on your curveball. Of course, if the umps are watching me close, I just rub a little jalapeno inside my nose, get it running, and if I need to load the ball up a little, just wipe my nose.
You put snot on the ball?
I haven't got an arm like yours. I got to put anything on it I can find. Someday you will, too.
Bob Uecker,
yeah,
as the announcer, is among the best roles of baseball movies ever.
Yes.
The manager, and this is how much it stuck with me that I don't remember his name, but just the raspy voice that we all know.
Lou Brown, right?
Yeah, what are you guys doing out there? And we've got, Jake Taylor running it out, the bunt, the doubles, wild thing. It's just fantastic. And it's hysterical. Some of the best jokes in all of film that I've ever seen. KY ball up to the shortstop. Just love all of that stuff. I could watch it over and over.
Even the Rene Russo stuff?
Yeah, so let's contrast that stuff. Susan Sarandon completely, I'm sure she's a lovely person, and obviously it went well for those two because I believe they're married to this day.
Sure.
So that's great, and I'm all for, you know, relationships and people enjoying themselves. But the Rene Russo thing, that just, Jake Taylor's this crusty guy running her down. I don't know what a book is, but I love you. I'm going. It's just much more realistic to me than the Tim Robbins silliness and the playing the guitar. And even though they're both very similar in some ways, for something. And again, that's for me, that's what makes Major League such a number one film from a baseball perspective, is the authenticity of it. The notion that there's this team and the owner wants to move it and they're struggling and they have to come together and they've got to be, you know, kind of creative with the talent acquisition and how they use it, and could put a fast guy in the outfield, you got to hit fly balls or you got to hit ground balls, or I just love all of it, and it just feels more authentic to me than any other movie about baseball, really.
I mean, it's got spring training in it, for crying
it's got
out
spring
loud.
Training and cuts and Pedro and the fastball and the curve. I love it.
Yeah, it's the best.
That's how you make a winning team. Not everyone is a star. You get 25 good players who are each good at something and a great manager utilize. And again, back to how the game is really played, and that's what they do, and that's where that movie goes, and I just love it.
Do you think anybody's going to hold it against us that we didn't have Field of Dreams on our lists?
We didn't have a single Kevin Costner movie on our list.
No. I mean, it is a top three, so it's a limited list. So I think if we had a 5 or a 10, it probably would have popped up on there.
Kevin Costner movies. So with Rookie of the Year, with Major League,
yeah.
Baseball is a star of the film. When Kevin Costner is in a baseball movie, Kevin Costner is the star of the film, and baseball is kind of a supporting character. Would you agree with that kind of assessment?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think he becomes the thing, and it's not the game so much, and it's more about his emotional experience. But with Major League and Rookie of the Year and Bad News Bears, you got to see where the ball is bouncing. You got to watch every play, and that's what matters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did they win a game in Bull Durham? I don't even remember.
Yes, of course.
Like 2 or 3 games.
For Love of the Game is good. I like
it. I love the concept.
But like you said, baseball is completely secondary.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, even movies like The Natural is a lot of fun.
I wouldn't have faulted you if The Natural were on
your list. Pride of the Yankees from 1942, the great story about Lou Gehrig, where Babe Ruth actually plays himself, which is insane.
I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, people should go back and watch that. Yeah. You should go back and watch
that. I believe I will.
As a baseball fan, even though it's the Yankees. I don't know if you're anti-Yankee.
Yep, pretty anti-Yankee.
Why are you anti-Yankee?
They've won a bunch.
Yeah.
I'm envious of my team. I want to just win. I want just one, Ben. Just one. I'm watching the shutout last night. Just one run, Cubs. Just one. But they can't do it. So.
Well, maybe you'll get it this year.
Maybe tomorrow, but maybe not.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean a run. I'm not even thinking about
the
World
Series.
I want to score a run this year.
It could happen.
Hopefully so.
Alex Walsh, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ben.
Hey, yo!